Hey everybody, this is very special guest Todd Robert Anderson here on the Toncast. Once again, no host. I don't, you know, it's weird that the hosts don't show up to host their show, and I'm just stuck being a very special guest by myself. It's a little disheartening, but that's okay, because I get an excuse to continue on my series about my favorite musicians. And they're not, these musicians that I'm talking about are indie musicians, the regional quite often. In other words, they don't tour all over the country. And they're people that I've had personal encounters with. Because, you know, I could also talk about super uber famous musicians that I do like, but it's not as much fun as talking about these indie musicians who I knew on some level in some way. This time I'm going to be talking about a Irish musician. She's an Irish folk singer. She does this, it's this great combination of her own compositions and songs, which are often very heartbreaking and sweet, and then she does a lot of trad music as well. And she is what introduced me to traditional Irish music, and it spoiled me too. I mean, I still love listening to all kinds of trad bands, but her band, which was called The Chanting House, is to this day just the absolute greatest Irish music I have ever heard, and some of the greatest music I've ever heard, period. I'll give you a little history. It was in college. I was in college, a freshman in college, and this cute little crazy thing in my acting class, who would later take my virginity, invited a bunch of us out to see this band that she knew about, as she was a fan of trad music. And she had discovered this band, and they played at this bar called the Red Lion. And it was an Irish pub that featured Irish music. We'd go there, and I never had very much money. So, you know, I'd scrape together enough money to buy a couple pints of Guinness for the 2-drink minimum and a couple of bucks to put in the musician tip bucket. If I could scrape together that kind of cash, $12 in New York, probably at the time, for all of that, maybe 14. Because you got to tip the waitress. So it's a $15 evening. And often, you know, that was all the money I had in the world. And I would go listen to this band. And I usually played, if I'm not crazy, because, you know, my memory is muddy, man. I'm old. But I'm pretty sure they played on Monday nights. So I would wind up having a very late night on Monday nights and be groggy for my academic classes on Tuesday. We had acting classes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and academics on Tuesday and Thursday at NYU. In any event, the first time I saw this band, I was just amazed. I was amazed. And these musicians that she assembled, who, you know, I've heard in other trad bands over the years, were just, when they all got together, under, you know, her lead, it was just, it was ethereal, this music. And there was a guitar player who just played furious, furiously on his acoustic guitar, and every show he would bust a guitar string or two during their jam sessions, and it was just marvelous. And when I say, you know, it took me to another place. I mean, it was the juxtaposition. A lot of times, and I have a recording from way back then. I still have the cassette tape that I bought from the band, which was just called Channing House Live. It was a demo cassette. I mean, I listened to that over and over and over again, and wore out the tape quite a bit, but I managed to capture the tape and remove some of the tape hiss. So I'll play a couple tracks off of that to give you an idea. You know, although the sound is still a bit warbly and there's some distortion because it's an old cassette tape, you guys. Really, really, with crude hobbyist software, very difficult to improve the sound beyond what I have done with it. But I will be playing that. The reason I say, you know, the music took me to another place is it literally did, because a lot of those songs, not literally, yeah, I don't know why I said literally. People say literally when it's not literal. It wasn't literal, but it felt literal, I think is why I said literally. There was this great juxtaposition in, you know, most of the numbers that they did, the songs that they did, where it would start with one of Susan's songs, which are often, you know, forlorn songs about love, love unrequited or difficult love or heartbreak or breaking up and all this stuff, but in the most poetic possible way. And she's got this gorgeous earthy voice that just kind of would pummel you, and she would put in, like, as she sang, and they're often quiet, sweet songs, and that would, it would just bring you into this nice mellow place, and then the band would start kicking in with a traditional Irish jam as part of the song, and they would just jam for, you know, 10 minutes, and I would always just imagine myself flying over the hills of Ireland with this music. And I'd never been to Ireland at that point. I have since been, and I love the country. And that's where, you know, I found a bunch of these Irish musicians I used to see in Channing House when I was in Ireland about 7 years ago. And I was like, I know these guys. I know this guy. I know this guy. I know this lady. I know this lady. So that was cool. It was like a weird reunion with me and these musicians, even though it was just in the form of recordings. I didn't get to see any of them play in Ireland, which is too bad. But it was amazing to see that they're all still doing it. And I've been aware of Susan's career all through the years. And, you know, I pick up her albums. It's just it's just a nice place to go. And nice sound to have in your ears. Anyway, I thought, and I'm going to play a bunch of songs from her catalog. I asked her permission. She said it'd be cool, just get her the MP3s of the songs I fix up and the podcast and all that stuff. So thanks, Susan, for that. Between every time I talk to one of these musicians and they say, yeah, it's cool, totally do it. It just feels good that it's, you know, they appreciate fans and are, you know, not uber precious or protective about who gets to, you know, talk about them and their music. And Susan's another one. It's amazing. So I'm going to play this first song is from this old cassette tape. It's a short song. I have a 9-minute track to play, but I'm saving it for the end because that track is specifically what I'm talking about, where I just got into a meditative state and then was just flying over the hills. But this song, which is a shorter song, was always one of my favorites. And you'll see what I mean by heartbreaking and forlorn when you hear it. And maybe a little condemning. It may be a little bit condemning. I don't know. But Susan's voice is so sweet. And again, you know, this is a little warbly. I'm going to play. She gave me permission to play a couple songs from her studio album. So that's great. The sound quality will be better on those. But this is really worth listening to. So if you can, to help you through maybe some of the warbliness of the recording, just imagine yourself in this pub in New York City. And that, in New York City, I really want, the thing I miss most about living in New York is the music scene, because you could discover these bands. And, you know, in LA, so much of the recurring club acts are cover bands, you know. So to have this Irish band that I went to, that I discovered through a friend and went to, it was like special, and it was mine. And it was, you know, of course I was in college, so I was still coming of age and dealing with that weird version of adulthood that you go through in college, where you don't really have adult responsibilities, but your parents aren't there, you know, so it feels cool. And you go out to bars and hope they don't card you, or you have a fake ID, as I did, which worked before I was 21. So, and sometimes, you know, they were a little harder and I couldn't get into the club. It was tricky, but you could go in. I think it was a restaurant too, so you could get just coffee or something if they carded you, if I recall correctly. I think I had some nights of that where they wouldn't serve me, and other nights where they didn't care. You never know in New York. You never know when you're a kid if you're going to get into the bar or not. Easier than in Massachusetts, of course, which you can't get into any bars in Massachusetts if you're underage. There's just no way. Anyway, I've gotten off on a tangent. This song from this Channing House Live cassette I have from back in the 90s is called Your Favorite Star. So just close your eyes. Imagine you're sitting with me at a table enjoying a pint of Guinness and just mellowing out to Susan's amazing music. This is Your Favorite Star. Star.
dreaming of a known world.
You see what I'm saying about this sort of, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? It kind of feels like she bores a hole into your heart and is just pouring her music into it. She's something else. So, the other thing about Susan too is, she was the first, musician who was real. I used to watch Solid Gold when I was a kid, and, there was a series of Solid Golds where Dionne Warwick took a break from hosting and Deborah Harry of Blondie hosted. And I think Deborah Harry, and she did The Tide Is High and with her strut and whatnot. And, she was my first crush, but that's a TV crush. It's not real. So Susan is this musician that I, would go see every time they played. And, I crush on her so bad because she, first of all, the artistry and the craftsmanship that goes into her work and the passionate, she used to play the bongos, she still does. And, the passion on which she pounded on those things was just so great. It was, tribal in a way. I don't know. It was just so much fun and a huge crush, and she's beautiful too. So there's that. She's beautiful and talented. So easy to crush on someone like that. And I even one time, cause I would sit and I would write poetry. I used to write poetry. I don't anymore. But I used to sit and listen to them and I'd write poetry, and I actually wrote this poem called Susan, Forgive Me, for her, and while listening to her music, and then I brought it home and cleaned it up and typed it out, and I dropped it in their tip bucket along with a couple bucks one night, and I could have dug this poem out for this podcast, but I'm terrified of how awful it might be, because the memory is, for me, it was one of the best poems I ever wrote, if not the best, and just about the effects of her music on me, and just being a listener of her music, I didn't feel quite worthy as a human being to be treated to such an ethereal gift, as such an angelic gift of music. You know what I mean? Now I'm not, I don't know what I mean. I'm not making any sense. But anyway, so I wrote this poem. I didn't dig it out on purpose, because I'm just going to go with the memory that it was a great poem. But whatever the case, whether she was being simply polite or she was touched by someone would write a poem about her while listening to her music, or if she actually thought the poem was good. But she did come up to me after her second set was over, and she had read the poem, and she said, it's perfect. That's what she said. And that I will never forget that. My heart was pounding in my chest, and I was happy. It's a funny thing to be starstruck by somebody who you experience in such an intimate environment. For me, you don't have to be uber famous. If you're uber talented and I'm uber moved by your work, then I will be starstruck by you. I was recently in a waiting room at a voiceover place, and the actor William Fichtner came in, and if you're not a cinephile, you may not know. I mean, you've seen William Fichtner at a certain point or another, but you may not know the name, and he's certainly on the more famous level of character actors. But in any event, people would expect you to be starstruck by Robert De Niro, but here's William Fichtner in the room with me, and he's talking to me, and I got really starstruck to the point where I just got diarrhea of the mouth and kept talking about nothing, kind of like I'm doing right now, and except to him, and he was trapped. And as soon as he left, I was like, I can't believe I had that diarrhea of the mouth and was boring the shit out of William Fichtner because I like him. What a terrible thing to do to a person. In any event, when Susan said, you know, it's perfect, I freaked out. I got another song. It's off her album called Bones, and it's called I Know, I Know. And that was one of the songs she used to play, I'm pretty sure, with Chanting House back then. Because I remember, and again, I might be screwing this up, because, you know, memories, but I think because that song wasn't on the demo, and it was one of the ones, you know, that I wished I had, and it was cool when Bones came out, and I was like, oh, I know. And so that was exciting. So here's I Know, I Know.
Smile, but I know you'd sell my soul to the devil and not think twice. Sweet child, let's get together. I'll kiss you all over when you're under the weather. I'll make you smile for a while. 'Cause
So, yeah, in addition to being an amazing musician, a passionate artist, you know, and gorgeous, Susan is Irish, and I'm a sucker for an Irish accent. So just, I don't want to go on and on about that crush that I had on her when I was a kid, but it was, it was just a quadruple threat, this lady. It's hard not to fall in love in a nightclub with a beautiful lady who is awesome. It's hard, you know? I think it's, you know, I never asked her out. I think she's married. She was back then, or engaged, or living with some guy or whatever. So, you know, I'm a respectful fella. Just quiet, unrequited crush in the back of a pub with a Guinness writing poetry. That's all. That's all it was. I don't know why you people are judging me. Why are you judging me? In any event, Susan's albums have a lot of songs that she sings, traditional Irish songs that she sings, and they're in Gaelic. I don't understand Gaelic, and it just, on the page, it looks like just a bunch of letters that I can't decipher, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Gaelic titles of these next couple songs, but this one is off Bushes and Briars. It's called Little One, another one that I love. Here you go, Little One.
So.
When I got married and I told my wife, you know, about Susan's music and played a bunch of her music for her, which my wife really likes, and, you know, told her about the poem, my wife was like, "What?" So for a while, my wife was kind of mad at Susan, but she got over it. It's all good. So now we can enjoy the music together. Have a dance or two, perhaps. It's nice to dance to Irish music. Here's one off of Lowlands called The Hare's Lament.
On green grass that grows on yon ground, when my heart was set to beating by the cry of the hounds, musha right to hally ho, harky over hi ho, harky over cries the huntsman, harky over hi ho. They hunted me up and they hunted me down, the bold huntsman of Scotland on my trail sent the hounds over highlands and lowlands. Harky over, hi-ho, harky over, cries the huntsman, harky over, hi-ho. To the value of sixpence, I ne'er harmed mankind. I ne'er was brought up for to rob or to steal, unless for the cropping some crops of green kale. Musha right, hi ho, harky over, hi ho, harky over, cries the huntsman, harky over, hi ho, musha right, hi ho.
My wife and I are not the only ones in my family who enjoy Susan's music. I've actually, you know, shared it with all my friends and extended family, and I got a lot of friends back home who dig her albums and listen to it. I know Darren Buck, who I talked about a couple podcasts ago, he got a couple of her albums on my recommendation. He loves her stuff as well. And I think I actually got to take him to see her at one point. When we were both in New York together, which, you know, that's special when you get to treat a best friend to a favorite musician and they dig it. And it's, you know, and, it's jig worthy. You can do a jig cause that's what they do to Irish music, I suppose. River dance. In addition to all my friends and extended relatives who enjoy her music, my son, because, you know, I listen to music all the time, so he's exposed to, you know, I obviously have rather eclectic music tastes, funk rock, rocker, a alternative country guy, Irish folk singer, and traditional Irish music player. That's a lot of different stuff. I think what they all have in common is just a genuine passion and a very distinct point of view that not only is not something that comes up very often in popular music, but it's also something that gets me. I immediately relate to. That's pretty awesome. So my son listens to a lot of hers, and this is his favorite song. If it comes up on the iPod, he always wants me to rewind it, and you know, we'll wind up listening to it 10 times in a row. So here's my son's favorite. It's another Gaelic title, but the translation, I guess, is a thousand times my life, or a thousand times my love, my life. What am I talking about? Anyway, here's my son's favorite Susan McCown song.
Isoro vilagra, agasoro vilagra, shabo berole do vadero ganyairi an laba. Oro, 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 isoro vilagra, isoro vilagra, agasoro vilagra, kushuli guplu in your martin druch the lemogra. Soro vilagra, a soro vilagra, o shunche park a temple at a mogun of lamogra. Oro, 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 soro vilagra.
En na herie ea, en na bismillahi, en na der rahimani, en na der rahimi, en na jafelman.
Soro vilagra, chaum ochrog es asana, seru pontzala. Oro, 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 soro vilagra. Soro vilagra, soro vilagra, chaum ochrog es asana, falperach der namna. Oro, 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 soro vilagra. Soro vilagra.
Shokan shiri le sor mo freer heiv na karike boi. Oro, 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 soro vila gra. Soro vila gra, soro vila gra. Le dacht ik fat al lomma go me kialach in al dos. Oro, 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 soro vila gra. Soro vila gra, soro vila gra. Shabob
Oro, 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 soro vilagra.
my son is 7 years old, by the way. He's in first grade. I always love it when he keys into a song that I dig or an artist that I dig. It's just nice. There's something gratifying about that. Because little kids, you know, if they don't like something, you can tell. Sometimes they lie about it out of politeness. But usually you can tell they don't like something. So when he's really taken with a sound, or a song, it's just one of my favorite things. So I love that every time that one comes on, I will listen to it at least three times if I'm in the presence of my boy. So this is cool. I just literally heard this song before recording this. It's great. She's got a new album, which just came out, called Belong. I have not gotten it yet, but as soon as I am done with this, I am going to go online and get it. And I suggest you do the same or buy any of these albums, Bones, Bushes and Briars, Lowlands, Sweet Liberty. They're all great. They're all great to listen to. It's, all solid stuff. This is a song off her new album, Belong, which I adored it the minute I heard it and listened to it three times, even though I'm not in the presence of my son. So here it is.
She said, I feel like a widow on a vast frontier, working my fingers to the bone like the rest of us here. 50 miles to the nearest town, 1,000,000 miles from any man. And don't lose yourself, not now. Keep your wits about you somehow. It's gonna be a cold, cold winter, and
Great song. Great song. Hopefully at this point you're kind of understanding why I might have developed a crush on this woman back in my younger days. So finally, as I promised, I'm going to play one rather long track from the cassette tape from back in the day. I challenge you not to be lifted up, not to feel yourself flying over the hills of Ireland when you listen to this thing. And, I got nothing else to say. If you don't like it, you're out of your mind. You gotta be crazy.
I kissed the lips of truth that were healed when he was wasted. He couldn't see that all he was a dreamer too. And I used to say, that I could change the world. I used to think that I could change you. If only I were you. And you were me. As hell, afraid to lay yourself open, well, you know I would be as well. It's not that I could live a lie, and it's not that I know truth. Oh, I could do what you wanted me to, if I wanted to. If only I. Shut me out.
Well, there it is. There it is. The Toncast about Susan McCallan. And, well, you know, if you happen to be listening to this, Susan, again, thank you very much for the music. It's really meant a lot to me, and I know a lot of people have been touched by your music, and it's amazing. You're amazing. I'm so glad that you're still doing it. That's another thing. I think just one more point to make about Susan and the other musicians that I've talked about is she's still doing it. I mean, we're talking about 20 years after I first discovered her. She's still doing it, and it's still great, and I still get lost in it. And, you know, that's amazing. That's amazing for an artist to, one, have that kind of longevity, that kind of tenacity, and to continue to make great, emotional, moving music as opposed to, you know, cynical or half-assed, I don't know why I'm still doing this music. So, Susan, thank you for that. I really mean it. I really mean it. You're amazing. And as Susan always said, at the end of a round of applause, cheers.